Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into the next tier of wide receivers. This is kind of like your middling group, right? Your middle-aged players with insulation, but lack overall ceiling. And I think maybe insulation for some of these guys might be overstated. One I can think of in particular, but I think the general sort of theme of this group is pretty good players, almost like younger innings eaters. I don't see a huge ceiling upside in terms of fantasy production. And when that is the case, I think you have to be careful about investing a huge amount of capital in these guys, right? And then I think you have to be careful about what you are trying to accomplish at the spot you're trying to do it. Okay. So, for example, I'll just run through the tiers here with you, and then we'll sort of talk about a little bit more specifically some of the stuff that I'm discussing. So your tier includes, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, Chris Godwin, Michael Pittman, DJ Moore, Deebo Samuel, Cortland Sutton, and Marquise Brown. Now the last two, again, Cortland Sutton, and Marquise Brown, a little bit off the track of this one. Deebo Samuel is a little bit different as well. There's a couple of things that unite this group. Mid-20s, the range of this, the age range of this of these guys in 2023 will be between 26 and 28 years old. So again, sort of what I would call mid-career wide receivers. And all but Deebo, Sutton, and Brown have multiple hits. Okay, all of this group has a hit. So Samuel, Sutton, and Brown have all hit for a top 24 seasonal finish. But the other guys have multiple of them. And right, that's kind of the defining feature of this, right? Sort of as a demographically. Projection-wise, one of the things that gives me a little bit of pause with this group is the lack of overall ceiling. So I think with this group and this bet, what you end up doing is you end up finding yourself a bit trapped, right? A bit trapped is kind of the best way I can really describe this tier, because you're sort of stuck between older guys who have higher ceilings year over year. And you're stuck between younger guys. You know, the older guys have a higher ceiling in the short term, right? But maybe a longer, a less lengthy career prospects. And the younger guys have a longer career prospects, and I think a lot of them have a higher ceiling. So that sort of combines me to say, I think this is a tier that you got to be really careful with when you're targeting, okay? And you got to be careful about how you're targeting it, okay? Now, I'll just read you down the cost ranks of these guys, and you kind of get an idea of where they might be a little bit different. So Metcalf is at 15, McLaurin's at 27, Godwin 21, Pittman 17, 24 for DJ Moore, 18 for Deebo Samuel, Cortland Sutton's at 42 and Brown is at 43. Okay. So, and I'll sort them for you. You know, I'll sort of give you the buckets with which they fall in here in a minute. But I think when you start comparing some of the people in this range, right, there's going to be a different, right? This is a bet, I think, on what you're trying to do is you're trying to get a ball in play. You're trying not to sort of whiff on an asset, right? This is a little bit different than taking Keenan Allen, because you kind of hope that a guy like Terry McLaurin has a couple of more years than a guy like Keenan Allen. Right? So I think that's a little bit different of the bet. But he probably doesn't have the individual ceiling of a guy like Allen. So that's kind of the bet you're trying to make. I think this is like a get on base type of bet. I just don't see that these guys are changing the world. Right? That's kind of my pause and concern with them. So some of the individual metrics here. All right, so if you, or well, let's take a look at some of the price point stuff here. So in the teens, it's Metcalf, Pittman, Debo. Like those guys are kind of a hard avoid for me at their costs. Godwin, DJ Moore, and Terry McLaurin in the 20s. It's a little bit more palatable. Okay. Marquise Brown at 33. I'm interested, but I'm a little bit skeptical because of some of the changing quarterback situations there. We'll see changing offense. We'll have to see how that kind of unfolds. And then you got Courtland Sutton is at 42. Again, he's a trade candidate. I think you like him as a potential bounce back guy this year. If you think Wilson's going to bounce back, which I'm a little bit optimistic on, I'm into that. The problem with Sutton, and we'll just do some individual metrics on these guys here. The problem with Sutton, real contested catch guy, right? Which I don't really love. Doesn't really get open all that well. Like his targets per open route run last year was 14.5%, by far the worst of this group. His contested catch rate was 31.1%, which is the worst of this group. He's the worst of this group in terms of targets per route run, but he's the second deepest in terms of A dot. So if you actually look at it, DJ Moore had a higher A dot, and he was right next to like Terry McLaurin in terms of A dot last year, up at the top range of this position. He was an 80% route participant, again, just short of 20% of the target share, and averaged 10.6 points per game. He had the worst points per route run of this group with 0.3. So I think when you look at this group, like you have to have, I think that there's some aspect to this where you're like, okay, is this kind of what Sutton is for his career, right? Is this kind of what he is, or is this a little bit of the system with which he was used? Well, when you look at him on his career, in terms of some of the metrics that we like, A dot, he is the highest A dot of this group. His targets per open route run on his career is exactly what it was last year. So again, hint, sticky stat. It was at 14.6 on his on his career. It was at 14.5 last year. So again, real sticky in terms of that stat. Again, that's kind of right in the at the median of the position. His contested target rate on his career is just just short of 25%. Again, last year it was 31.1%. So again, that is kind of who he is. And I think that that is a lower ceiling bet because you're just not getting a sufficient amount of route volume, of target volume on the routes that he's running. For example, 106 targets this past year. That's just not going to cut it long term, you know? So that's really the thing that gives me a lot of pause there with a guy like Sutton. I just don't see how it's a major breakout because he just doesn't garner enough targets per time that he's out there. And you see that with him being the worst points per route run guy of this group. Marquise Brown's the next one up. Again, he had 1.44 yards per route run. That comps with Michael Pittman as being the worst from this group last year. Some quarterback stuff probably with Pittman, some A dot stuff certainly with Pittman as well. So you kind of have a little bit of pause there on they're very different players, right? Like Marquise Brown's sort of a more of an intermediate player. He's the about the median A dot of this group. Last year, targeted on 17.5% of their routes. Good for 13 points per game. Again, the range of these guys outside of Sutton and well, Sutton's at 10.6, Moore's at 11.7, and then everyone else is between 13 and 15. Right, so it's very, very similar types of profiles in terms of scoring, and you see that pretty closely from a points per route run standpoint as well. So Marquise Brown's an interesting one, like. Again, I'd probably at that point, I'd rather go Keenan Allen than Marquise Brown. But if he were to sort of slide into the later 30s, I'm interested. I think as his offseason goes along, if there's a holdup on some of the Kyler stuff, right, you might not get a great backup quarterback there. I think that that could be a potential buy spot for him. Again, he's not going to fall off the cliff, right? He's 26. He's got a hit. He's a first-round player. I don't think he falls off a cliff, but you have to ask yourself at what point do you want to make that type of investment. Right, so that's sort of the deal there with him. Again, I probably like him right where he is in terms of ranked of these guys amongst the their overall wide receiver ADP. Terry McLaurin is at wide receiver 27, and working our way up. The best yards per route run of this group last year, 2.04. He was at 115 targets this past year. Targets per open route run, about 16%. Again, that's in the middle of this position. He's a bigger ADOT guy, the third highest of this group behind only DJ Moore and Sutton. Again, big route participant as well. He's running 92, almost 92.5% of the routes. So that's like the third best of this group behind only Pittman and DJ Moore. And again, his target share 20.9. That is about the th that's the third best of this group behind Pittman and Metcalf. Points per route run 0.39. So again, pretty efficient, pretty effective there. I think a changing quarterback landscape there will be an interesting spot for this team, in terms of what their decision process is, for play calling, right? Is this a spot where they're going to go with someone like Sam Howell? I think that'll be an interesting, certainly an interesting question. Overall, they had the fourth most plays per game last year, and they ranked 17th in terms of dropbacks per game. The blend there that would give me a little bit of pause is, right, if either of those two things go down, you're really looking at kind of a cap ceiling type situation for a guy like McLaurin. So where he is, I am interested, but I would be, I think he's more of again, I think he's more of like a flatter. You might end up getting like a wide receiver three type of finish from him, and where you were maybe hoping for like a lower wide receiver one type of finish from him. And I think that's the more likely scenario, is that's kind of where he flattens out. Whereas I think some of the guys from his range, there's a better chance that they hit for a deeper hit, for example. Like guys, Deontay Johnson's going a couple picks in front of him. I'd rather have Deontay Johnson. Amari Cooper's going behind him. I'd rather have Amari Cooper. He's going behind him by about a round. I'd rather have Amari Cooper. Hopkins is going later. Again, there's a 3 year age difference there. So that's kind of the blend. Like Evans is going multiple rounds later than him, right? Like, we'll see what Evans' ceiling is at this point in his career in terms of where he is and the target share that we think he could command. But again, I think if you're in a tight end premium, you'd rather go those guys later and take a tight end where you're taking McLaurin, right? I think that's kind of the piece there that gives you a little bit of pause on taking him where he's caught, where his cost is. That said, later first round rookie pick valuation according to Fantasy Calc. I mean, I'd be in for a second, right? Like I'd be in for a second. Again, I think maybe this moment isn't the moment to buy him, but if you see some struggles from Sam Howell and OTAs, right? If you see that kind of narrative, something like that, I think that's a potential buying opportunity for a guy like Terry McLaurin. DJ Moore is the next one up here. Again, kind of the what if tier, right? Some of this stuff is like, well, what if on some of these guys. He's got two top 24 seasonal finishes. He's got two that are like between 25 and like 28 as well. So like he's got like four top 30 finishes in his 5 year career. But that says a lot without a top 12, right? That's kind of who he is. High volume, or high, highly productive on a per route basis in his career, with disappointing quarterbacks. He's kind of been a poor man's version of Jacksonville's Allen Robinson, if we were to kind of think of it. Some of the stuff for him, targets per open route run, 17.7 this past year. Again, that's right at the middle of the position. That's about the median number there. On his career, he's about 18.2. So again, these things are pretty stable. That's a pretty stable one. That kind of tells you who the wide receiver is. That's kind of where he is in line there. His contested targets on his career been about 20%. It's 21 last year, so that's about right. On his career with an ADOT averaged up to target of 12. This past year, it was actually at 14, which is the highest of this group. So more of a deeper intermediate guy throughout his usage, 0.38 points per route run, and 11.7 points per game. So again, some of the volume stuff with him, if you were to sort, he's kind of the anti-Terry McLaurin. He's basically the opposite of Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin kind of had the, they ran a ton of volume and threw it a good chunk, right? Threw it kind of league average, but ran a ton of volume, and McLaurin kind of benefited from it. And was better on a per route basis as well. I think Moore is kind of the opposite bet, right? Moore is like, hey, this offense could go up in efficiency because they ran it so much. Remember, they had the Simpson's paradox where they actually were above average on a per attempt basis passing and on a per carry basis running, but were below average on a points per on a yards per play because of how much they ran the ball. So I think that should correct itself a bit. We'll just see the kind of the overall ultimate ceiling of him. But again, 109 targets when he was at a 95, excuse me, at a 97.5% route participation, the highest of this group, right? That's wrong. That is unjustifiably low in terms of the overall volume of the passing offense, right? You're basically running every route targeted kind of in line with what you would expect overall from these guys. And 109 targets, right? Like that's just not right. Like by way of reference, Courtland Sutton had almost the same amount of targets with 106 and ran routes on 80% of Denver's dropbacks. Okay, that's how much the volume of that offense hurt DJ Moore last year. So again, the efficiency fine 0.38, like that's sort of right in line. I think that's kind of your breakout case for DJ Moore. Like, can they sort of get a quarterback in there that's competent? And that they decide to A, run more plays that are, more efficient. I think Frank Wright is going to do that. And I think that's kind of the breakout case you have for DJ Moore. I just wonder what the ultimate overall ceiling is. He's kind of been pinned into this range of the position for a while. He doesn't have the uber efficiency that you're hoping to for this type of case, but you're hopeful at least if this type of performance from him. Yeah, it maybe is wide receiver 14 next year instead of wide receiver 25. Chris Godwin is probably has the highest ceiling of this group, but I put him in this group because I'm a little bit concerned about the overall quarterback landscape for what he's going to face, and I think that's the big concern there that I have with him. Overall, on Godwin's career, he is at three top 24 seasonal finishes. That's the best among this group, right? Him and Metcalf are both there. Both have a top 12 seasonal finish on their resume. Godwin, 6 years into his career, only four from Metcalf. They're both again that 26 to 28 range. Godwin will be 27, Metcalf 26. So that's kind of the difference there between those guys in terms of some of the age stuff. Again, I think if I had to make a bet in this range, Metcalf's the best player, I think. Godwin, also a really good player. I just wonder what the I could see a bigger breakout for Metcalf. I just don't know if it can get all the way home. Again, 88% route participation for Metcalf on 139 targets. Godwin had 137 targets on 74% route participation. So again, just you sort of see the difference there in terms of just that tells you what the passing game is, right? And they had the same targets per route run. So that just tells you how much of a more pass heavy offense Tampa was. I'm sure that's going to come back a bit, and that would be kind of the pause that I would have on a guy like Godwin on a per route basis. Him and Metcalf performed very similarly to keep up that pace, right? That this was one of the most pass-centric offenses in the league, almost by any measure. They perform the same on a per route basis. You figure Godwin's going to get a quarterback downgrade. Metcalf's going to kind of stay the same, and you're going to get a lot less volume. And I think Metcalf's, well, it might not be the overall ceiling volume you're hoping for from a passing game. It's going to be better than Godwin's is. So Godwin's kind of the trap. I think one of the, like, He looks like he's kind of fine in his range. I just don't know how he really overperforms it. And that gives me the kind of the pause there with him. And I could really see some of his like he almost needs to get a route participation north of 90 to replicate his targets from this year. That's going to be my concern. So we'll sort of see how that is. Again, maybe if Evans departs, that could also change things a little bit. But that's something we'll have to watch for. That gives me kind of the concern spot on Godwin. Again, that's why I think these guys kind of middling players with some insulation, but don't have overall ceiling. That's kind of that's why this title's named that. I got to work on the marketing of the shortness of the name, but that's kind of the overall theme of this. Again, Godwin only 6 yards ADOT as well, so that's shorter. Maybe you hope, hey, that part of the offense can stay if there's another quarterback. We'll have to see there. All right, Debo Samuel. Again, he had like one of the all-timer seasons 2 years ago, and then has really only hit once in his career, and it was that one top 12 finish. Otherwise, it's been a little bit less limited. He is a high efficiency player. It was down this year, 67% route participation. There was some criticism of him that he came in. Yeah, he was kind of bad body, Debo Samuel. Like he came in a little bit heavy, and wasn't sort of in his best shape, or had put on, kind of the wrong type of muscle or something. We'll have to see sort of how he comes in, if he's, the shape and the quality he's in this year. I've kind of gotten Shanahan's doghouse, it appeared, for a bit because of that. So, again, 0.35 points per route run, as in the passing game. He's got some of that running game, ability to add as well. So, again, he's fine, but the question is like, do you want to take that bet, or do you want to take one on, Treylon Burks is going a couple spots later than him, right? Kupp is going a couple spots in front of him, right? That's kind of the rock and a hard place situation you're kind of stuck in, right? Do you want to take the bigger swing? Do you want to take a Christian Watson swing a little bit later, maybe a round later? Or do you want to kind of take the Debo Samuel swing, where, again, kind of crowded offense last year was probably, or 2 years ago, I guess now, 2021 season was probably like the dream scenario for him. Is that what you want to try and get after? Or are you trying to get after, is that what you're trying to replicate? Because I'm not sure that's what you're going to get with a young quarterback, with a healthy Kittle, a healthy Ayuk, a healthy McCaffrey. Kind of running up against it from a target volume perspective. Again, he was, he did well in terms of targets per route run as well, 23%. But you're just going to see, I mean, at 87 targets with a 67% route participation on their total dropbacks this season, right? If you kind of expand that out, you're not getting a ton more than 110, 120 type targets. That gives you some pause. And if that running stuff's not going to come back, yeah, I think you're going to have some real ceiling concerns there. So that's kind of the pause there that I have with him. Again, this is why I'd rather kind of take one of those opposite side swings. Same with Pittman. They're right next to each other, Pittman and Debo Samuel. When you look at them, Pittman, 93, almost 94% route participation, 139 targets, an ADOT of 7.7 this past year. He's been a pretty low ADOT guy in his career. That's somewhat alarming, given his size. You would think he'd be more of a down the field guy. Targets for open route run, again, right about the median of the position. Not a big threat in that range. He is a bit more contested target guy, again, kind of in the middle of the range. And what you find yourself is he's kind of got a middling targets per route run figure, right? So that's kind of the deal there with him. Again, big target share this past year, 26.9%. Maybe that stays, and that's kind of your hope for him. But again, it's a low efficiency proposition, 0.34 points per route run. Maybe with a new coaching staff, maybe with a new quarterback, they can get a little bit more out of him. But again, where's the big breakout? And if you're gonna offer wide receiver 17 volume in a startup draft in a trade, I mean, that's like mid-first rookie pick range. I'm good. Like, give me Metcalf, or give me Kupp, right? Or I think I'd rather take a bigger shot later. I mean, I can wait around and take Christian Watson, right? This is kind of the range where, all right, do I want to take my third tight end in a tight end premium? Do I want to take a running back one? If I've gone and maybe it's not a tight end premium, it's super flex, but maybe I want to take a running back one or even a running back two, one of those top 20 guys, something like that. Or do I want to take Pittman? I'd rather take the shot on one of those running backs can make a difference for me and wait on receiver, right? This is kind of the range that this is. Kind of the range of the wide receivers that I don't like from that perspective. I think your best bet in terms of overall ceiling is DK Metcalf. Again, the most points per route run of this group. His targets per open route run was the fourth best of this group. So again, kind of at the median there. He is on his career. He is that was actually better than his numbers to date. It was at 16.9. It is 16.9 in his career. He was north of that actually last year, so that's good. At 18.1, he is much more of a contested target guy though. This past year was 30.2% on his career. He's a 26% contested catch guy. So that's kind of the deal you get there with him. 88th percentile points per route run. Again, you're kind of pushing up towards the top 10 there. Him and Godwin right at the same on their careers. Behind Debo Samuel was at 0.44. That's a 91 percentile type performance. So that's kind of the difference there with him. I can see a bigger volume, and I can see that kind of top 10 efficiency type performance, that top 10 percentile type efficiency performance. I could see that creeping out of him, probably the best of this group. Again, you're paying for it, right? It's not necessarily a novel concept, but does, again, and he's 25, and he'll be 26 in this upcoming year, right? Drake London's going right in front of him and is 4 years younger and is a higher efficiency player. And so you have to ask yourself, like, what bet do you want to make? Adams is going two picks in front of him. What bet do you want to make? Again, do you want to go old and elite? Right. He's sandwiched. He's the perfect guy for this tier. Sandwiched between Adams, London, Metcalf, and Kupp. Which bet do you want to make? Right. There isn't necessarily a wrong pick. I would go young or old. I would go give me the guy that has the huge ceiling. I'd probably take Kupp of the group. Or I'd take London of the group. I think that would be kind of the bet that I'd be trying to make in this range. So that's kind of he that group with which he is in is kind of the example of why this range gives me a little bit of pause. This tier gives me a little bit of pause. So, all right. Well, I hope that helps you out a little bit here. I'm trying to incorporate some more metrics into these podcasts to kind of give you an idea of why I think there's a lot of similarities and give you some of the more stat specific stuff. So let me know how you think that. Again, I'm trying to get into the stats in a way that will kind of explain to you my line of thinking, so you can kind of you can understand all that. But I don't want to sort of drown you out with decimal points either. So let me know what you think, and I hope that this one helps. That'll do it here for this edition. And until next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.